The Aron was exactly 10 tefachim. The lid, the top of the lid, the lower, the surface of the kaparis was exactly 10 tefachim off the ground. Because the height of the Aron was 1 amma and a half. An amma is 6 tefachim. A half is 3. So 6 plus 3 is 9. The thickness of the kaparis is 1. So 6 plus 3 plus 1 is 10. And then from there all the way until the wings is another 10, for a grand total of 20. A total height of 20. Okay, so there's a lot of things that we're going on over here. So one more time was the Rashi. Shaloi tasech anfeim shechvim el. Number one, when it says the word parse, means the wings shall not be, you know, cleaving to their body, but they shall be spread, and they shall be spread upwards. And where? Lamala eitzel roshehem. The heads, so that means that the wings came up to their head. The head of the kruvim was exactly 10 tefachim. Now go back to the Targum. Yon kiruvaya, the kiruvaya. Now notice over here, kiruvaya is bloshen yochet. Okay, this is something that matters. Over here when it says the kruvim, v'hoyu ha-kiruvim. Over here it says the kiruvaya. Isn't that the word? Isn't that singular? Was that plural? Over here, kiruva, maybe not kiruvaya, maybe it's plural. I don't know. Let's leave that for a moment. Pirison God Fehon, they shall be spreading their wings le'ela, okay, mitalin, providing shade, begat fehoin, al kapurta, viapehon chalak alchad, their face one after the other, lekabel kapurta yehon ape kruvai. Let me give a peek over here at what it says over here in this Sefer, the Ma'atzari. Pasuk Chaf. Let's take a quick peek and see what it says over here. Shuma. Pasukov. It says here, "Perisin garfehon, perusos garfehon." Loshna mikra mashma shakruvim parsu kinefaim. The kruvim spread wings. V'im kenoh yitzach uncle is a target. Perisin avol kvar. Perisin, not perison. Shaloshna kos the parsu kumay perusei lo perusim ki in bale chayim. Ogen tirgim perisin. Okay, so first of all, he says something that is very, very fascinating. Something extremely fascinating. He says the kruvaya are perisin. Now here's a very interesting diuk. You make these teeny little diukim. There's a world of commentary in Unkelus. The way the Targum translates the kruvaya perisin. The word perisun, the grammar of the word perisun indicates that the kruvim are independently deciding to extend their wings. It's almost as if the kruvim are living creatures. They're alive. A living creature can make a decision when it wants to spread the wings and when it does not want to spread the wings. But they're not alive. The simple understanding is the kruvim are not alive. It's just an image. It's just a decoration. So when you make a decoration, the one that makes a decision if the wing should be extended or the wing shall cleave to the body is the artist, not the kruvim. The one that's making that decision here is Moshe or Betzala. So the correct grammar of the Targum should be Vihoin Kiruvaya Pirisin, not Pirison. It should be perisin, that the way Bezalel and Moshe Rabbeinu should design the kruvim is such that, to an observer, it looks that the kruvim are extending their wings. When you the grammar of perisin, perisin, and not perisin, means the kruvim. This is basically a command. It's an incredible attack we're doing over here. The pasuk over here is not speaking to us. The pasuk here, according to Unkelus, the way the Ma'atzari is explaining, I mean, this is like really way off the charts, this type of parish. The pasuk here is speaking to the kruvim. The hoyu, the pasuk here, who is being addressed? You know, you take a test in third grade. Mi omar el mi. So if you ask the average person, pasuk chaf, ask that I go to shul on Shabbos. Ask me, Omar El Mi, v'hayu ha keruvim parseich enafaim lamala. Me, It's Hashem Omar El Moshe. Hashem says to Moshe, I'm giving you instructions how to make the Mishkan and how to make the Kruvim. The Hoyu, my instructions are that the Kruvim shall be made in such a way where they're extending their wings Lamala. Right? Isn't that what I would say? Mi Omar El Mi. Okay? The Chidon HaTanach. Mi Omar El Mi. Moshe Omar El Hashem Omar El Moshe. Along comes Unkelus, and this is what I'm not doing this. This is heavy. This is a really good sefer. He says, no, you got it all wrong. Hashem Omar El HaKeruvim. Hashem is staying to the Kruvim. The Kruvim, this is the way I want you to decide to appear. V'hoyu HaKeruvim Parseichin Afayim Lamala. The Kruvim, independently, they are being instructed to spread out their wings. That's awesome. A whole new Pshah in the Pasuk. And this Pshah in the Pasuk, he cites a Medrash. And the Medrash indeed says something very bizarre. That when Hashem was not speaking to Moshe, the Kruvim put their wings down to rest. Where did Hashem speak to Moshe from? There are a few Pesukim that say this. When Hashem spoke to Moshe, he came into the Ol Moed. It was last week's parasha. He came into the Ol Moed and he heard the voice. And then we went further. Hashem's voice came forth from between the two Kruvim. But Hashem didn't speak to Moshe Rabbeinu every single day. Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu whenever he spoke to him. So when Hashem was speaking to Moshe, then the wings opened up. And when Hashem stopped speaking to Moshe, the wings closed. It was like the light went on. It was the Kruvim were alive, and when Hashem spoke, they opened up their wings. And when Hashem stopped speaking, they closed their wings. So over here, the Pasuk is telling the Kruvim how to behave when Hashem speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu. V'hoyu HaKeruvim, the Kruvim, you're living creatures. When I speak to Moshe, I want you to be Parsei Chinofayim Lamala. Seichim Mechanfeim Alakapiris. Ufneim, I'm giving you a command, Ish El Ochif. Then, I'm saying now a drush, because this is the contradiction. This, when I'm not speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, you can put your face down. Elakapiris, you Pnei HaKruvim. Okay, that's my drush. But this is an incredible vart. What he says over there, let me go back and read over here what it says again. It says here, he asked the question, the imkain, I'm cutting, just giving you the tam sadvarm, the imkain, hoyetzach unkelus atagim, perisin, avol, kvar perish ha, Rabbi Avraham Mizrahi, the Mizrahi, the perish in Rashi, he's a very, shaloshna kosov, parse kmo peruse, Loi Pirusu. Okay, then he gives a technical answer. The Mizrahi comes to give a technical answer. Ulechein teki prisin nifal omnom. There's a technical answer which I don't know the grammar, so I can't even explain it. I don't know what it means, but this is what caught my attention. Omnom, he says here, omnom bezoyar in the zoyar perishu shemilosh na mikra miduyok. When Hashem rested the Shekhinah, then the Kruvim would lift up their wings. And therefore, that explains why it says here that the Kruvim should be the ones who spread out their wings. The Pasuk is addressing the Kruvim. It's amazing. Unbelievable what it says over here. Okay, now we go to the next word. Next word I told you is a very strange word, schach, shade. There's no light. What's the shade? It says matlin, miloshen tzel, v'ois tes v'mokim oisadike, v'chein tzoleya. No, he doesn't want to give any interpretation. He does acknowledge that I said the right thing. He just over here says that the word matlin means shade. The English translator didn't want to go there. Okay, this proves my point. The English translator here, which, again, this English translation is severely, severely suspect. What in the world this person did over here? Where in the world he took the translation from? It's a hodgepodge.
The article has the word sheltering.
Sheltering. Okay, that's what I would... That's exactly like what I always, in my mind, thought. It means to shelter, because he can't say the word shade. What shade? What are you talking about shade? Shade is a physical reality. It's a metzius. Einstein can probably explain to us the difference in the ear and the light between the area where there's light and there's shade. Shade is... Oh, they can open the door. Hello? Oh, thank you very, very much. You finished learning? Thank you very much. Okay, shade. Shade is something which is physical. Okay, something that's physical is you shade, and that's what it says over here. The word shade. It says over here the word what did I just say over here? I'm the wrong on the right person here. Mithalin. Okay, so he all right. It is what it is. Okay, ours, what you said was sheltered. Was sheltering like schach. Okay, schach means, you know, it provides shade, but it just means that it covers. It provides.
What could it be that, you know, gold may give off a glare?
But there's no light. There's no light in the room.
I know, really. What I'm trying to say is, a metal like gold may give off a light. You know, a glaring light from the metal.
It's okay, I hear what you're saying. You say,
and maybe the sheltering was, or the shade.
Okay, you're saying very good.
You're
saying good. Soyar tasa la teva. It says by the teva, was also pitch black dark. How do they have light in the teva? So it says in Rashi, soyar tasa. What is it, soyar? So one interpretation is that windows, and the other is that a special stone, a precious stone, which had enough light, glow in the dark, had enough light in it to keep the teva illuminated for the entire year they were there. So who's not to say that the gold that was used to make the kruvim was a type of gold that basically emitted light, gave off light, even without there being any external light? 100%? You're saying very good. And if that's talk of the case, there was gold all over the place. So maybe in the kruvim did provide shade from the other type of light that was coming forth from this very unique gold. And this gold, again, there are seven types of gold. And the gold that was maybe used in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we have, you know, Zoftar and this and that. It was a type of gold which had light. That can very well be a difference. Rashi didn't want to make any comment. Rashi did not comment on this. He was quiet. Okay? And Lekovel means opposite. And that's it. Okay, no more comments. No one really explained for us, at least on the page, the contradiction. This is a famous contradiction. I think the Gemara is the question. It says here, Penen Ish El Ochlif, and then it says Elak Apiris. So how do you reconcile? So then the Gemara is the Kasha. Bizman She Yisrael Oisim Ritzoyne Shal Mokayim. When the Jews behaved, then the Kruvim looked at one another. But when the Jews did not behave, then they looked away from one another. You can gauge the relationship Hashem has with Klal Yisrael by looking at how the Kruvim are looking at one another. Just by looking at it, it's like the meter. It's the meter to know where are we holding in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If the Kruvim are looking at one another, it means we're in a good state. If they're not looking at one another, it means that our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been strained. And everyone knows the famous question. How come when they came in the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, there was no Kruvim in the Bayis Sheni. But in the Churban Bayis Rishon, when the Goyim came into the Kodesh HaKadosh, when they saw the Kruvim, they were looking one another. They saw the Kruvim were looking at one another. How could that be? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, is there ever going to be a time when the Kruvim are not going to be facing one another? It would be at the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. So there are many answers to this question. I saw an answer yesterday, in fact, 2 days ago, an answer to this question. And the answer goes that relative to them, it was amongst us in Klal Yisrael, so when we're only focusing on ourselves and our personal relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sometimes it's good and sometimes it could be better. But by the Goyim, even when we are in the worst matzav, the lowest of the low, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is destroying the Beis HaMikdash, he's sending us into exile. People are dying. the Jewish people are not doing well relative to the Goyim, we have an awesome relationship. The Goyim have nothing with Hashem. We have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu a relationship, even in the worst of times, that is gold compared to the relationship the Goyim have with Hashem. So when the Goyim came in to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and they saw the Kruvim, they saw the Kruvim looking at each other. When we looked at the Kruvim at that very same moment, we saw them far apart. It all depends who's looking. The Kruvim have a different surah depending on the person who is looking at the Kruvim. That's a very powerful concept. This is not my bar. I saw this far from Rabbi Zichman, he cites, well, maybe not, maybe it was another sefer. I have two different surahs on these, the Yedias and the Parsha. One of them, I don't remember which one it was. I think maybe it was the small one, a different person. It's an incredible idea. The Kruvim are spiritual beings. These are spiritual beings, these Kruvim. And what do they look like? They look different to everyone who looks at them. When we looked at the Kruvim, to us, the Kruvim were facing away from each other. Has to be. If Hashem is destroying the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem is not happy with us. Ah, but it says in the Gemara Beferish that when the Goyim came and looked at the Kruvim, they were facing each other, looking right at each other. That's because they were looking at the Kruvim. And when they look at the Kruvim and they look at us, they acknowledge that our relationship with Hashem, even in the worst of times, is a love relationship.
When did Jews ever look at the Kruvim? They're on the Kodesh Kedoshim.
A good question. A tough question. When did they ever get an opportunity to look at the Kruvim? It says the Pharisee of the Gemara that they were shown the Lechem upon him, the Shulchan.
Right.
They brought it to the door to show them, and they also saw the menorah. The menorah is also shown to them, that the Ner Maravi, the Chanukah miracle happened every single day in the Beis HaMikdash. So I don't have a clear answer. Maybe once upon a time I knew this. Is it could very well be that they actually opened up the doors every once in a while, and they let people look. You can look straight in. If you open up all the doors. You open up the ul. There are in the Bayis Rishon, there was the ulam, and then there is the heichal and the kodesh hakodashim. And you look straight in, right? The kodesh and the kodesh hakodashim. You look straight in. It could be that maybe in a chagami once in a while. I don't know the answer. Good, it's a tough question. When did they ever go look? You're not allowed to enter into this location. But who says you're not allowed to look? What's going on inside, to look at, or maybe you can say that we have to understand that the Kruvim are spiritual entities. This is not a physical object that is subject to the laws of Mechitzos. Maybe somehow the Jewish people had X-ray vision, they were able to see the Kruvim, because again, this is not a Dover Gashmi. The Kruvim is a Dover Ruchni. And who says that you were not able to see the Kruvim even though there was a brick wall in front of it? It's a different type of reality. Okay, so we have over here this contradiction I told the famous Gemara, but over here, based upon what the Unkelah says, I want to suggest to you that when Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, then the Kruvim are being instructed to lift up your wings. And when that happens, Ufnei Mishalachif. But when the Kruvim, when Hashem finished delivering a message to Moshe, then the Kruvim put their wings down and they put their faces towards the Kapoiris. They bend their faces down. Okay, that's a drush. Now let's go to the next pasuk. Nasata es haKapoiris al ha'aron milamola. You shall put the Kruvim, the Kapoiris, on the Aron milamola. The El Haroin. Now this is one of the most mysterious pesukim in the whole Torah. And this goes to prove the point that we said before, that everything over here, we look over here, does not follow the rules of nature. The whole thing over here, this makom, Chazal said that if you go into the Kodesh HaKodesh and you take measurements, the measurements would defy the laws of nature. The Aron was Einoy Min Hamida. It didn't take up any space. And likewise, when they carry the Aron, the amount, if you make a calculation of how much gold was used to make the Aron and the Luchos, how much the Luchos weighed, sapphire. There were two sets of Luchos. it is impossible, number one, for badim to go take two badim of atzei shittim, and you pick up, even if you would have the most sophisticated machines that would pick up the aron with badim, the badim would crack and smash in an instant. And number two, there's no way in the world four people can carry this weight. It is humanly impossible for four people to carry this weight. The amount of gold and the stones inside and the whole thing, impossible. Impossible. Now, lahavdil elef alfei havdolos, a million times over. I remember watching many years ago, I think it was Reagan. When Reagan died, so they put his, it's not a church, they put his body, his coffin in the Capitol, I think, in the Capitol, if I'm not mistaken, and people come to pay their respects. So when they finish, so they show the Marines or the Army basically picking up his casket and taking it out of the Capitol. So if you, I was watching, you notice every literally Dalid Amos, a new crew takes over.
It's called the rotunda.
The rotunda. That's where is the rotunda? Where is it?
That's in the Capitol.
In the Capitol. It's the lobby, right? It's the lobby of the Capitol.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. So every Dalid Amos, to get up the steps is why? Because the coffin that they put him in weighed literally thousands of pounds. I don't know, thousands of pounds. You can Google it. Weighed an enormous amount. And to move it is almost impossible. So they have a team of real macho men from the Marines. They pick it up, but even they can't carry it more than a couple of feet before they are all tired out. So they give it over right away to another team, and they keep on, and a whole bunch of people have to go carry it because they thought. So that's a dogma. That's a dogma of if that's so when it comes to the whatever, and the present and the coffin, the Aron, it was impossible to carry. It was a miracle. Now here's another miracle. Here's a very bizarre pasuk. What does it say? Put the kapores on top of the Aron. So the Aron is now completely sealed. And after it's completely sealed, it says, v'nasata es hakapores al ha'aron milamolo. And now it says, v'el ha'aron, into the Aron, titein es ho'edus, put in the Torah, asher etein elacha. Excuse me, if you seal the Aron, you can't put the luchos inside. First, you put the luchos inside, and then, v'nosata es hakaparis. The pasuk should say, v'el ho'aron, titein es ho'edus, asher etein elacha, and then, Vinosato esakapores al ha'aron milamola. And Rashi, in the beginning of the parasha, says also, he says the same thing, Rashi says the same thing himself. What? That doesn't make any sense. So let's see. First of all, we see over here, it says, Uncle says, Vesitin yos kapurto al aroina mila'ela, above. Okay, you're putting the kapores on the aron mil. First of all, why do you need this one altogether? Where else? What does that mean, milamola? What does that mean? If you would not have the word milamola in this pasuk, would you even blink for a moment? Would you ever imagine you're missing a word? V'nasata esakaparis al ha'orain. Where else? What do you mean, milamola? What does this mean over here? Where else? And then it's the El Ha'aroin. Uva Aroina. Titin, you shall put Yos Sahadusa, the Sahadusa, the Edus, the Torah, which is called here the Sahadusa, the which etain lach. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, the El Ha'aroin, Tindes Oedus. Lo Yodati Lov Nichba. I don't know why it says this, because it already said this in the beginning of the parasha. Sharekvar Nemar Vinosato, you shall put El Ha'aroin. Es ho'idus. It already said this. It said this back where? In the beginning of the parasha. Okay, when we made the Aron, here it is. We learned the Aron, this yesterday. It says, V'nasata es ho'aroin. We didn't do this. We started with the Kaparis. This first aliyah. V'nasata, it goes through the whole, the first aliyah describes in detail the aroin. Okay? V'asu aroin atzei shitin, v'tzipisoi soi zavtar, v'yatzakla, the rings, v'yosisa bade atzei shitin, v'veses abadin, v'tavois, v'nasata el ho'aroin, eis ho'idus asher etein elech. So when we learned about the aroin, it already told us to put the idus. So why again does it say over here, Nochamo again over here, Vinasat is Al Horoin Mamola, the El Horoin Titanes Soedos. What's going on here? So Rashi says, good kasha. Rashi says, I do not know why Lo Yodati Lom Nichbashrika Nemar Vinasato El Horoin Esoedos Vyesh Loimar, Shibolamit, Shibo Oidoi Orin Levada. It's coming to teach you that while it's an Orin by itself, when they assembled the Mishkan, now I don't understand what Rashi's saying either. This is not my Kash. These are very famous, difficult Rashi's. These Rashi's are from the classic Rashi's that are very, very challenging. Again, so what is Rashi answer? It's coming to tell you, don't make a mistake and think that you should first put the cover on and then put the luchos after you put the cover. That's impossible. Why would you make that mistake? Nachmo. And furthermore, the pasuk says to do just that. I don't know why it is v'yesh loimar. Shabalamit Shaboidoi Oroin Levadoi. Beloy Kapoires, without the Kapoires, Yitain Techila Hoedos Lesoich. The Acharkach Yitain Esakapoires Olaf. Wait a minute. The Pasik says just the opposite. The Pasik first says Vinasata Esakapoires Alho Oroin Melmo, and then it says the El Horoin Titan Esoidin Allah. And that's why it says it. So it says it twice that you shouldn't do it. You're going against the whole grand, the whole. Nothing makes sense over here. All right. So one answer you'll say, this is a common answer people say. Things over here is that when Bezalel, it took a long time to make the Mishkan. The Mishkan didn't happen overnight. It took a long time. It took a couple of months. They started. It started after on Sukkot, and they finished it in Chanukah. From Sukkot to Chanukah is how long it took to look. It is very possible they finished making the Aron Rosh Chodesh Mar Cheshvan. They started building the Mishkan on the 15th day of Tishrei, and 15 days later, progress reports. Bezalel was told by Moshe, I want on Rosh Chodesh, I'm giving you the blueprints, I'm giving you all the materials. I want a progress report. You're going to start construction on the 15th day of Tishrei. And I want a progress report 15 days from now. Where are you holding? Comes Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. Yeshua shows up. Bezalel shows up. Here's the progress. We finished the Orein. We finished this. We finished that. We finished. What's left to do? We're now beginning to work on the Kapoiras. We estimate it'll take another month until Kislev. Take a month to finish that. But we already finished the Aron. During that 1 month, when the Aron was complete until they finished the Kapoiras, the Pasuk is telling you, do not dilly-dally, immediately take the Luchos that I have in my possession and put them in the Aron, even though there is no Kapoiras. Don't make a mistake and think that there's no need to put the Luchos in the Aron until you have the Kapoiras as well. In other words, it's a set. And until the set is completed, there's no obligation. No. We have two psukim telling us exactly the same thing to teach you, that first, first it says, Vinasata el Aron Eso Edus Re'etin Alecha. You know why it says it over here? To teach you, even though you only have the Aroin, I only have the Aroin, it's okay. You can put the Luchos in the Aroin. I'm giving you a command. Now, don't delay, even though it's going to be exposed on top. How do I know that's pshat? Maybe when it says here, Nasata el Aroin Eis or Eidosh Ayatim Alecha, maybe this Pasuk 16 means that when you totally finish, when you have the box and the cover, so the Pasuk repeats it again. It repeats it again, here in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, it repeats it. Now we disturb, why are we repeating it? Here we have the Kapoiris, and we have the Aron, it says to put the Luchos in the Aron, and cover it. No. Oh, now we understand, in hindsight, retroactively, that when it says here in Pasuk 16, you should put into the Aron the Luchos, it means even though you do not yet have the Kapoiris. Now, and in this Pasuk, it doesn't answer the other question. The other question doesn't answer the order. That it's not coming to answer. It's not coming to answer the word Lamala. That we didn't explain Lamala, why it says Lamala, and we didn't answer the question of the impossibility of first making the cover and then putting the Luchos in after the cover is on top. That we didn't answer. But so you have to learn the Pasuk, like we do many times. Read the Pasuk back. Put the Luchos in the Aron, and then you cover it with the Kapoiris. And the reason why this is being repeated twice is to indicate that when it's said back in the beginning of the parasha, they shall put the Luchos into the Aron, it means even though you have not yet completed the building of the Kapoiris, you can still put it inside. Now, that answer is a bit forced because it doesn't really address the second part of Rashi. Because the second part of Rashi says, "V'chein motzinu k'shehekim es hamishkan nemar v'yitein es ha'edus el ha'arayin v'achar kach yitein es ha'kaparis al ha'arayin milamala." I mean, that v'chein motzinu doesn't really help this answer. There you have them both. All right. So basically, the more mysterious answer is, the more mystical answer is that the laws of nature do not apply to the Aron. And therefore, even though in the world that we live in, if you have a box and you close the box, there's no way you can put something in the box after you close it. When you're dealing with the Aron and the Kruvin and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you're not dealing in the world of nature. You're dealing in a world of a different type of world. And in this world, just because you covered the box does not prevent me from putting the Luchos in the box. The Luchos are spiritual, something spiritual. The Aron is spiritual, the Kruvin is spiritual. Just because I have a box and I cover the box, so what? I can still take the Luchos and put the Luchos in the box when it's covered. Along comes this Pasuk and tells us, even though you can do that, don't do it. Now, that's not answering the mystery of why did the Pasuk write it out of order. The Pasuk says, out of order, the Pasuk says, V'nasata es ha-kapayres al ha-arayin milamala V'el ha-arayin. We're repeating now, V'el ha-arayin, but make sure that before you put the kapayres on, you put the luchos inside. And that's why it says it twice. Okay, the questions are still much, much greater than the answers. Now, if you want to say a drush, which is that it says here to put into the cup. Oh, there's a Jewish, it doesn't say this anywhere. Is Hashem over here is already at this point in time when you're making the Mishkan, according to most opinions, many opinions, this was already after the Luchos Shniyos. This event of building the Mishkan was after the Chet HaEgel. And therefore, at this moment in time, how many sets of Luchos do we have? Two sets of luchos. Where were the shattered luchos stored? Feresh Gemara. The shivrei luchos munachos ba'arei. So if you want to say Jewish is not pshat, is pasik. The pasik back in the beginning, v'nasata el haroin eis ha'edus asher etenei lecha. Now here it's a problem. This you have to answer no matter what, because many commentators learn that, most in fact learn, in Mukhtin Lucha B'Torah is that the building of the Mishkan took place after. So we already had in our possession both sets of Luchos. So you're going to have to answer this question no matter what. But one pasuk is referring to the Shivrei Luchos, and this pasuk is referring to the second set of Luchos. So the Oro, now what does that come to reveal? Is when it tells you to put the Luchos in the box and there is no cover, which Luchos are we referring to? If you would try I have in front of you two sets, you try to match up the two situations. You have Luchos, two sets of Luchos. One set of Luchos is damaged, is shattered, and one set of Luchos is perfect. And I have two boxes. One box has a cover, and one box doesn't have a cover. Which box would you put the damaged goods, and which box would you put the perfect goods? If you own the store, and you have two crates, and one crate has a nice sealed cover, comes with a nice cover, and one crate does not have a cover, where would you put the damaged goods? I would put the damaged goods in the box that doesn't have a cover. And the goods that are perfect in condition, you can protect them, you put it in the box that has the cover.
There you go.
That's what I would eat. But you know what? It can very well be just the opposite. Can very well be is that the Luchos Rishonos, even though they were damaged, they had a sanctity that was so great, they don't need a cover. It's the Luchos Shnios, they're more delicate because they do not have the same sanctity, they need the box. And that would basically mean is that you have to ask yourself the question, what if this thesis is true? We have a box, and in this box there are two sets of Luchos, and there's a cover. What is the cover, for which set of Luchos is the cover, and for which set of Luchos is the box? Maybe you can argue is that the Luchos Shenios, they only, let's go the other way around. I'm just making believe things. Maybe you can argue the box was to house the Luchos Shenios, and the cover was only to shelter the Luchos, the Shivrei Luchos, the Luchos Rishonos. If we only had one set of Luchos, maybe all we would need is either a box with no cover, or we would have a cover with no box. You have the Luchos, very nice, put the Luchos on the table when we learn from the Torah on Shabbos. So the Torah is exposed. When you finish the Aliyah, what do? You cover it. You don't put it on the mantle. The Sefer Torah is basically bare open, and you just cover it. There's a cover over the Sefer Torah. And then what do we do when you finish it? You don't put the cover. You put it on the mantle. You put it in its box. The Luchos I'm trying to suggest is that there are two sets of Luchos. One set needs a box. It doesn't need a cover. The other set needs a cover, and it does not need a box. Because in this, here, we're coming to put the two together. In the Aron was the Luchos and the Shivrei Luchos. That's why we have a box and a cover. The cover was for one of the two, and the box was for the other one. Which one will you match to which? You can argue both ways. You can be a fallible. This is Jewish, but it answers Rashi's kasha. Rashi's kasha, what's the repetition? Repetition is for the different Luchos. Okay, we're going to stop over here. Thank you very much for coming and learning with me. I think we got some interesting ideas here, some new concepts, certainly for me. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, Scott.
Good night. Good night, Blazer. Good night. Heshi, good night.
Rabbi Levi, when it says Luchos Shivrei Luchos Menachem Bar, are you saying they're two different orange and it wasn't the same one?
No, it's exactly what I'm saying. It's the same one. But I'm trying to say is, let's say for argument's sake, the Shivrei Luchos need a box, but they don't need a cover. The Luchos Shnios, they need a cover, but they don't need a box. They're not broken. When something is broken into little pieces, it needs to be contained. The pieces are broken. You need to contain it in a box. But I don't need to cover it. Why would I want to cover it? The Luchos Shnios that were perfect, that were complete, they don't need a box, but they're sacred, so they need to be covered. So being that we're putting the luchos and the shivri luchos in one box, we have a box with a cover. But the primary focus of the cover is for the luchos shniyos, and the primary focus of the purpose of the box is for the luchos, the shivri luchos. Or maybe you would say just the opposite. Maybe you can argue the other way around. All right.
Rabbi Levine,
how are you, Mr. Glatter? How are you? How are you feeling?
Baruch Hashem, we're doing okay. Yeah.
Okay, very good. It's 10 weeks to Pesach.
10 weeks?
10 weeks, that's it.
Oh, boy. You gotta start thinking about Pesach.
I have to start baking my matzahs.
Okay, but now it's Adar. We have to be besimcha, right?
That's right. Misha nichnas Adam Arvim besimcha.
Okay, so we're double simcha this year.
That's right, two others.
Okay. All right, very good.
All right, it's nice to hear your voices. Hashmi'ini nes koleich, ki koleich orev, it's pasuk. Shir. Okay, all the best.
Okay,
be well.
Thanks a lot.
Be well.
Okay,
be well.
Thank you. Bye.